Welcome to the Thoughtful Entrepreneur Show. I'm Josh Ellidge, founder and CEO of UpMyInfluence.com. We turn entrepreneurs into media celebrities, grow their authority, and help them build partnerships with top influencers. We believe that every person has a unique message that can positively impact the world. Stick around to the end of the show, where I'll reveal how you can be our next guest on one of the fastest growing daily inspiration podcasts on the planet in 15 to 20 minutes. Let's go. Starting this right now, we've got Scott Carson. And Scott, you're the president of We Close Notes. So for over 10 years, getting on 11 years now, you deal with real estate specializing in properties and buying notes, which is what we're going to talk about. I should also point out that you're also a podcast host. You have over 600 episodes, and that is with the Note Closers Show. And you can find that in your podcast directory. You can listen to it right now. But Scott, thank you so much for joining us.
Josh, I'm honored to be here, man. And it's a different world we live in than we did a week ago or even 2 weeks ago for the most part. And so honored to be here with you and kind of help calm some fears out there across the country for the most part if we can.
So if I'm doing my math right, Scott, I think that you started in June 2009, and that was, you know, the recession. We were in the midst of the recession at that time. And so you found a way to work within real estate and be able to help folks and earn revenue at the same time. Can you kind of explain like how you stumbled into that?
I was a mortgage broker at the time back in from 2004 to 2008. I had started a mortgage company with a buddy of mine, and our sponsoring brokers that started helped us in 2004. Traveling the country, teaching real estate investors and people about owner financing, creative financing, and creative real estate. And they'd made a lot of money back during the 1980s of the RTC days, the Resolution Trust Corporations, with the savings and loan, you know, closings and things like that. So originating mortgages, going along just gangbusters for 4 years, and then everything happened in 2008. And so I left the mortgage origination side of the business, and I had my mentors, and then I had other people that were like, listen, hey, now's the time to be buying debt. It's not a theory practice. It's the time to really get down to it, because that's where everything is at. So I just started dialing for dollars, Josh, you know, 50 to 100 phone calls a day, kind of like Will Smith out of The Pursuit of Happiness. And just, you know, dialing, you know, kind of like the Wolf of Wall Street, and started tracking down the internal departments of these banks that had these huge portfolios of distressed debt. Of, you know, people that were 6 months behind or greater, or who were upside down, you know, they owed two times the amount on their home and their house was worth no fault to their own. It was just the recession kicking in.
Yeah.
And built a business out of that, kind of lived off the crumbs of the bigger banks. And, you know, fast forward now, you know, 12 years in the business. I was the educator of the year a couple of years ago in my niche, and we've helped thousands of not only homeowners stay in their house, as we like to say, we're making America great again, one distressed borrower at a time.
Yeah,
but we like helping other investors in, with cash flow and things like that, but help them learn how to invest in this niche area out there. But there's with everything going on right now, you've got a lot of Americans that are nervous about their mortgages, nervous about rent, don't know what's going to happen. And I think it's they got to take a deep breath and relax a little bit, because it's not going to be your bank's not going to show up this month and say, hey, get out of the house.
You know, So. Imagine that we're talking to like a middle school class right now, and try to, if you could, explain in the most basic terms possible, what is the business of buying notes? Like, how does that work, and what are you doing with them?
Yeah, it's a great question, Josh. Yeah. So if you are making a payment on a house, a car, credit cards, student loans, medical debt, if you're paying somebody, you're in the note business. You're just on the wrong side of the cash flow. Okay. When I buy a note, I literally will become the bank. We become the bank, and we are working with the borrowers, the people that owe money on the house, a car, whatever like this. We just focus on houses and commercial properties. But we buy that debt from the banks, become the bank. And the fact that we buy that debt at a huge discount because the borrower's behind, they haven't paid in a while, they're upside down, we can buy that debt at a huge discount. It's like going, instead of going to Walmart, going to Sam's and buying stuff in a big discount, it's marked down. And then it's still worth something. So we make our money by reaching back out to the homeowners who are living in these properties and say, listen, hey, I know you owe 150 grand on your $100,000 house. What happened? Why didn't you pay? Did you get fall out of, did you get laid off? Did you get sick? Did you get divorced? What's the issue? Well, let's solve this. If you want to stay in the house, let's create a win-win scenario, win for you and a win for us as the bank. You know, so we've got a lot of flexibility depending on what that person's doing. I mean, we can give them a loan modification or drop their interest rate down or reduce their payments or take the like the 6 months of payments that they owe and put it on the back amount of the loan. So it allows them in 6 months to start back over kind of fresh again. We can do a variety of things that really most people don't know about that the banks can do and I can do being the bank by working with a homeowner if they want to stay in the house. Now, of course, if they don't want to stay in a house, they're ready to move on. We can work out with that to forgive that debt, to have them sign the property over to us and let them walk scot-free, or you know, give them some cash to walk, cash for keys. You know, reduce if they've got a little bit of money saved. Maybe we can do a short sale or a short payoff where we let them keep the house and we take a cash payoff. Let somebody come in and start taking over the payments. Or if they won't work with us, or they just kind of tell us to go pound sand, we can go the legal route and do start the foreclosure process. But our biggest goal is always trying to keep the homeowners in the properties and working to create win-win scenarios. I mean, national averages, if you're in the debt business like we are, you're going to end up foreclosing and accelerating things about 50% of the time. But with us, we're really good about really reaching out to the homeowner and saying, listen, I know that you've been avoiding the phone calls and the mailmen and not opening your letters. Let's talk and kind of take what has become your biggest dream to become a big nightmare. Let's turn it back into a dream of homeownership again.
Wow. Why don't the banks just do this themselves?
That's a great question, Josh, because they're not set up to do this. If they're originating the mortgage, they're fully invested into the thing. And they would rather get, say, 50 cents on the dollar, 60 cents on the dollar now versus it taking them 6 months or a year or more to go through the route of foreclosing, then fixing up the property and selling it off. Now, you also have to realize, too, that the banks have all these employees that are just hourly employees. They don't really care. They're just going to show up, you know, work through these files. You know, they've got stacks of files on their desk like they did 12 years ago. They're going to have them again here. If you don't have all your paperwork in place to do a loan modification or do a short sale or do a forbearance agreement, they're just going to put you at the bottom of the stack and start working from the top again. Hmm. We are able to do this because we understand what's going on. We don't have 10,000 loans. You know, we've got a couple hundred that we can work through. Mm-hmm. And we've got the flexibility that we're not fully invested in that property. We didn't originate the loan. We bought it at a discount. The house is still worth 100. We've just bought it for 50 grand and the borrower owes 150 grand. So we've got a lot of flexibility that we can be creative to work a plan that fits that borrower's budget and their situation, whether they're working or sick or whatever. Let's try to create something that makes sense.
Right. So under the most popular scenarios about, you know, regarding what's going to happen with that property, how do each of those scenarios work out for you?
So that's a great question. It's going to vary. Like right now, I'll give an example. So people right now that are sitting in their houses right now, they're laid off or their income has been reduced dramatically. They've been sent home for a month or 2 months. The banks aren't going to foreclose immediately. They're going to have 6 months to figure things out, probably.
Right.
You know, they're going to have a bailout. When it goes beyond that time frame, when the borrower didn't qualify for something, or it's a smaller bank that maybe didn't get the bailout things, that's where it works in. So for us, we're here to make money, obviously, like anybody else mm-hmm. is in America. We have the ability, a really great ability, to help people. So if we bought it at 50. And we can get them to modify the loan at 100 and start paying on time again. Say normal mortgage payment, say for a $150,000 home might be $800 a month or $800, $900 right. a month. If they start paying at $900 a month for 12 months, that's $12,800. Well, if we paid 50 grand for that note, that's roughly a 25% cash and cash return for us. It's a great return, but it's also a great thing for the borrower because now if they pay on time for 12 months, we just took 50 grand of their value or what they owe and forgave it by modifying the loan to exactly what the property's worth. So it's a true win-win in that scenario, therefore. I mean, you know, we can forgive that, or we can reduce the payment a little bit to stair step it up for them a little bit. You know, and that's the big thing is that I think the big thing that most people don't realize is we give them a solution. So now they're not worrying about the other shoe dropping. They're not worried about, yeah. Oh my God, unknowing what can happen. And that's the biggest thing I want to tell people today is like, reach out to your banks, talk to them. Hey, if you got laid off, talk to the banks. There are things that the banks will do to help you and programs that are going to be rolled out here in the next 90 days to help you stay in your house or you stay in your rental property as well too, you know, forgiving rent or just pushing it out a little bit. The more you can communicate with your bank or your landlord, the better it's going to be for you in the long run. The worst thing is when you don't communicate and the banks are trying to help or trying to see if you qualify for something. And then if they don't hear from you, then they're just going to proceed with the legal side of things for the most part.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So Scott, for you, where would you see like your biggest risks?
Our biggest risk is when we, a couple of things with all our investors out there, we tell them, hey, make sure you know the true value of the property. That's the big thing. And right now values are kind of shaky as the markets are changing up a little bit. So knowing value, always got to double check taxes, see what's owed in taxes and if there's any back taxes owed. And then knowing truly what the condition of the property is, always putting eyes and ears on the property. So seeing what kind of condition is and what's going on in that market. Is it in a good market? Is it a bad market? So that's the thing that we always have to look at in our due diligence is putting eyes on the property. And then also one of the things that we're looking at when we're looking at a portfolio is looking at, hey, what's the background story? What's the soap opera of the borrower? You know, what kind of country western song did they go through to get to this point? Is it a fault of their own or is it a fault of outside sources? And so looking at the collateral file, looking at the documents from the servicing company, from the phone calls, and seeing it, hey, if this person really wants to be helped. You know, not everybody wants to be helped. Some people just want to live scot-free and not help. But those that really want to be helped, we love helping those people.
Yeah, for sure.
Better so, at the end of the day. And getting talking with somebody on the phone said, listen, take a deep breath. What do you want to happen? What would you like to have happen? Okay, great. We can make that happen right now. Not waiting 6 months, not waiting 60 days. Let's come to a resolution right now, and we'll work with you as long as you're willing to work with us. So that's the thing is just communicating, trying to get the borrower on the phone and making sure that the asset and the loan is exactly what we expect that we're buying.
Yeah. Now, are you relying on public records of like so-and-so declare bankruptcy, and so therefore you identify who the bank is and then reach out to the bank, or do you reach out to the homeowner at that point? Or
that's a good question. Now, we do rely on public records for due diligence, but we deal directly with the banks. So,
So you're like, hey, what do you have going on? Who do you have? You know, what are you interested in dumping? You know,
exactly. And so we've over the last decade, we've built a pretty good database of over 5,000 asset managers, internal departments at these different banks, from big banks to smaller banks and in between. And so that's what we do on a monthly basis is just on a reach out, you know, email marketing out to them. Hey, what do you have on your books this month or this quarter that you're looking to get rid of?
Yeah.
And while not every bank will have something every month, they'll have something at least once a year, usually for the most part. So it's just a matter of touching base. Sometimes we'll get a list of four assets. Sometimes we'll get a list of 4,000. And we are able to kind of cherry pick those assets, negotiate back and forth. You know, do some due diligence on the public records and the borrowers and then make a decision. And then once we buy it, then we're allowed to reach out to the borrower. We can't reach out to the homeowner or the borrower before we actually become the bank.
Yeah. So obviously in this sort of situation, you need to have access to liquid assets so you can make that investment, right? What does someone usually need to have on hand to kind of get rolling in this?
So it varies a little bit, but there's a lot of money. There's $7 trillion, well, maybe $5.3 trillion in retirement funds after the markets have crashed 30% over the last year. But there's still a lot of money sitting out there in 401ks or retirement accounts, not making anything, just sitting there idle. So we use, you know, 95% of the time we're using other people's money, other people's funds fund those deals. For everybody out there, it's in a major city or a decent size Metroplex, there's a lot of real estate investment clubs that you can go to and network with investors that have money that they're looking for deals. They have the money, but maybe they don't have the network or have the access to stuff. So, the saying is he who has the gold makes the rules. Well, in today's market, the gold is actually the property, the deal that you've got access to. It's not actually the capital because there's so much capital and money available in the market right now.
Yeah. What do you want more of? I'm curious. Do you want more deals or do you want more investors?
It ebbs and flows, Josh. Sometimes we need more money because the deals are rampant. Other times we need more deals because we've got plenty of capital. So it just changes. As now, over the last couple of years, it's been an increase of needing more deals as the market's gotten better. You know, property values have increased. Default rates have dropped to about 2% of all loans across the country for the most part. So it's always looking for better deals and getting a little bit more creative in how we market, you know, tracking different cities and states. Yeah.
And I guess inventory would be fine because you don't have to take every deal that the banks offer. You're like, nah, that's a stinker. I'm not jumping on, I'm not taking that one. But just more to kind of sift through to determine, does this meet, you know, kind of a great situation for me and my investors?
Yeah, exactly. If it doesn't make sense, the beautiful thing is that we can pass. You know, it's not, it's, you know, there's a lot, like I'll give you an example. We make an offer on 100 assets. We know that probably 60 will be accepted. Out of that 60, we'll probably carve it down to 30 to 40 that meet our final numbers through due diligence and evaluations. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go back and forth with the bank and counter or the you know, real estate hedge fund. And if they don't accept it, it's fine. We'll take the 30 and close, but then we'll follow back up in 30 or 60 or 90 days with those other 30 to 40 to see if they've closed or the bank has gotten more motivated to move those. And we see, you know, especially the end of the year, the fourth quarter, whatever that is, whether it's the, you know, the last quarter of the year, or the first quarter of the new year, you know, banks are often, that's when they're heavy to move stuff because that's when their fiscal numbers change or the year moves over. So it's always a busy time. I mean, that's why I say we're kind of sitting here. We're still looking at stuff. We're still moving stuff. But I don't foresee really big changes happening in the market for another 6 months as everything kind of shakes through and people are figuring things out. But that means that the last quarter of the year is going to be extremely busy. Yeah. I think we'll see more dramatic stuff on commercial properties than we will on residential properties.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's a whole different ballgame with people working from home and businesses closing. Yeah. And I heard a statistic that they see, you know, 37% of small business owners aren't going to make it through this. And then there's another statistic that 48% of all statistics are just made up on the spot. So
right. Yeah. you know, yeah. So hopefully, you know, the work the SBA is doing and these other things will kind of help with that. But again, just in terms of like opportunity and timing, if we didn't really kind of cover this on the front end, you know, where we are right now, given what's going on, you know, most people will tell you, yeah, we're going to experience, if nothing else, a short-term recession here.
Yep.
And so
I don't think it's going to be as dramatic as the last one. It's going to be, I think we have a 12-month issue on a 90-day problem for the most part with the kind of knee-jerk reactions. But what's going to happen in those 90 days, you know, how people recover, you know, I think we're going to see a lot of transference of things, and what's going on is going to shake up a lot of things. You know, you look at distant learning, people learning online now. What's going to happen with the universities? Are they going to have need for everybody to show up, or can one professor teach 1,000 people now versus classes of 30 to 100? Mm-hmm. You know, people are, you know, big businesses will be downsizing commercially wise because they don't need to do that. Oh, we'll work from home and we'll save money and overhead by being able to work remotely. So it's a lot of things that are going to be changing here in this next 12 months that are kind of getting a kickoff right here and right now with where the market's at.
Right, right. Awesome. Well, Scott Carson, thank you so much for joining us. So talk about how people engage with you. You know, you've got a great podcast, obviously people can listen to, but how do you help investors do what you do?
We've been teaching, you know, we've got a ton of training that we do online, a lot of webinars. We do a lot of online videos on our YouTube channel and our homepage. So if you go to weclosenotes.com, that's our homepage, you'll be able to kind of see the different trainings that we offer, all the videos that we have that's online for you to kind of, you know, tap in and learn how to do what you want to do with this stuff.
Excellent. Well, fantastic. Scott Carson, again, thank you so much for joining us. You're the president of We Close Notes, and you're the host of the Note Closer Show. Over 600 episodes, so you've talked to a few people in your time. I want to say, again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Josh. Hey, guys, go over, make sure you hit the subscribe button and leave him a 5-star review. You got to love what Josh is doing here, so do that now while you're listening.
I appreciate that. Every time you do that, an angel gets their wings. So thanks, Scott. Take care. Thanks for listening to the Thoughtful Entrepreneur Show. If you are a thoughtful business owner or professional who would like to be on this daily program, please visit upmyinfluence.com/guest. Now, if you've got something out of this interview, would you share this episode on social media? Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. Now, if you do that, tag us with the hashtag UpMyInfluence. Each month, we scour Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. We pick one winner from each platform, and you get crowned king or queen of that social media. Now, what do you win? Well, we're going to promote you and your business to over 120,000 social media fans totally free. Now, can you also hook us up? Now, in your podcast player right now, please give us a thumbs up or a rating and review. We promise to read it all and take action. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. Your feedback helps us fulfill that mission. And while you're at it, hit that subscribe button. You know why? Tomorrow, that's right, 7 days a week, you are going to be inspired and motivated to succeed. 15 minutes a day. Now, my name's Josh Elledge. Let's connect on the socials. You'll find all the stuff we're doing at upmyinfluence.com. Now, thanks for listening, and thank you for being a part of the Thoughtful Entrepreneur Movement.